Is Moyo actually supposed to be sober this adventure?
No, you can.
You're on coke, man.
There's a supply chain issue with fucking everything right
That's,
now.
All yeah, right. Right.
The darn Suez Canal.
Processors are like...
Yeah, ocean freight is so fucked up.
How fucked up is it?
Like, you can't get cars right now because they can't find the chips to put in the damn cars. So, like...
They don't make them like they did back in my day.
Without computers?
Without wheels.
We had wheels there, just made of stone. We had Flintstone mobiles.
Did you drive with your feet? And
yeah. Our feet were bigger and hairier back then.
Mm.
Everyone had hobbit feet.
Yeah, the problem is that I'm not that type of wizard.
You've only got two fireballs.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Gimme the Loot podcast, the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition actual play podcast whose score currently stands as Technology 1, Podcast 0. My name's Turner, I'll be your Dungeon Master and voice of pre, mid, and post-show announcements for the foreseeable future because I certainly don't have a career in home PC repair. First of all, everybody, thank you so much for your patience. We sincerely appreciate you bearing with us as we struggled with some technology issues as the new PC that I purchased to prevent from encountering delays due to technology decided that I needed more irony in my life. But that's been resolved. Solid disk drives have been replaced. Video cards are in the process of being replaced. And for good measure, memory was swapped out. Just why not? At this point, just why not? Why not? Why not do the whole thing? So we're back on our regular schedule, which means our next campaign episode will be out the wee hours of July 13th. And once again, we really do appreciate you bearing with us as we got over this particular challenge. If you're a new listener, thank you for joining us. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. As always, new or old, we sincerely appreciate you making time for us in your busy podcast listening schedule. Episode 21, the guys are still working their way up the lighthouse. There's about one more episode in this setting before the guys finally get a handle on the situation. So on that note, let's hop over to a quick-ish intro, a little recap, and on with the episode. Just a reminder, Gimme the Loot is not a family-friendly show due to a mix of crude humor, profanity, and fantasy gore and violence. Any specific content warnings will be dropped in the show notes below. Thanks, and hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, cool. And I will throw to you guys, we'll do a recap, and we'll go from there. All right.
Really quick, did we do intros last time? Because I wrote one down, and I don't think I used it, and I don't want to use it again if I did.
We did not do intros last time.
Okay.
Last time as of yesterday, or last time as when you were in the tower?
Last recording we did, we did not do intros.
Okay, then you know what? We're going to do two right now, and I'll cut one of these back into it, all right?
Oh, shit, but I don't have two written. I only got one.
Freestyle like I do every time.
Fuck.
Time to come up off the top of your head, man. All right, so this is intro number one.
Hey, this is...
Dude, I haven't thrown to you yet. You were just ready to go, man.
I'm supposed... Okay, got it.
And once again, we're back with the party of five.
This is Harlan playing Todd the Tiefling, your favorite bounty hunter's favorite bounty hunter.
This is Andrew playing Moyle, the cleric who knows nothing.
This is Jamie playing Eldrin Theneros, the ranger putting bullseyes on all the bad guys.
This is Jazz playing Fate with all the fireballs.
And Anthony playing Baba.
All right, cool. Now the one for this episode.
This is Harlan playing Todd the Tiefling, a.k.a. In Todd We Trust, and that's it.
This is Andrew playing Moyle, the cleric that no one wants to heal him.
This is Jamie playing Eldrin Theneros, and I can only do one witty quip a day.
This is Jazz playing Fate, who is still the smartest mage in every room.
And Anthony playing Baba the Barbarian.
So where we left off, you guys had taken a road trip down through Hiko to the Southern Fens, reaching the port town of Nashtau, discovered that the roads deeper into the Southern Fens were blocked off, preventing your pursuit of the stabilizing shard that was linked to Moyle's pentahedron piece. So after some investigation, meeting Bruno Vino at his wine bar, where you guys all drank at Bruno Vino's wine bar, right? And then took some road bottles as well.
Fate did not.
If we drank poison, I'm gonna say no.
Well, that's not what I'm fucking asking.
Just making sure.
Jesus Christ.
I definitely did.
Was that right before hooking up with Ognum?
I definitely did some drink.
No, this is in the town that you're in right now. That was before going and speaking to the gnome who you got aggravated with.
Yeah.
Didn't shit himself when you intimidated him.
I think everyone drank, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
I don't think Fate did, but I could be mistaken.
I'm pretty sure I drank. I just didn't want to hear a roll for initiative as soon as I said that.
No, that was like...
We're way past that.
Hey, I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works.
Todd's like, oh no, this is a roll for IBS.
Exactly. now I've got internal cramping because I told you 4 hours ago I drank that drink.
That Merlot.
After everybody enjoyed a round of wine at Bruno Vino's wine shop and grabbed some road bottles, you guys headed down to the docks to meet with a mercantile guild rep and accepted a contract to go repair the lighthouse, which was the source of the port closures, which had dried up trade, resulting in the shutdown of the elevated highways needed to traverse deeper into the southern fens at a rapid pace. You guys entered the lighthouse and the fuckery began almost immediately, being attacked by some animated shadows and then making your way up through a series of increasingly bizarre and non-Euclidean rooms. You guys nearly lost a few party members on a chess-based puzzle. I made it past that into a room that was very clearly designed just to fuck with you with a button. And that's where we pick off with the door to the butt room having just popped open and you guys looking into the stairway going up. Just like every other level that you guys have reached at this point, there is a small little landing that would serve at the base of the stairs. You do notice something kind of immediately different about this flight of stairs up. It goes up about 4 steps and then transitions into a smooth ramp curling up around the tower to the next level out of sight. Refresh marching order for me real quick.
I'm in the front. I'm usually right behind. Yeah.
I will take in middle position.
I'm in fourth.
I guess I'm in the back.
Okay. Is there anything you guys wanted to do before you trudged up the next level or?
What are hit points at right now?
I'm at full hit point.
Full?
I'm not full. I'm close to full, but not full.
Pretty close to full because we healed up doing something.
Yeah. We took a rest or something.
Yeah. We spent hit dice.
Yeah. I spent hit dice. I'm full.
So after everybody almost died in the chess room, you guys took a short rest and Moyle cast prayer of healing to kind of get everybody pretty close to topped off.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. I was at full, but I want to make sure.
Real quick, everybody give me a healing potion count. I know Moyle's got the 4 experimental potions.
Fate has none.
I don't think I have any either. I used one last time.
I have one other healing potion.
Oh, I have one left.
Mine says I got one.
Remember, Andrew, you didn't buy that one greater healing potion. You ended up buying 4 experimental greater healing potions.
No, I have that listed. I also have one of the regular healing potions as well.
Oh, one regular. Yeah, so okay.
4 plus 1.
4 plus 1. All right, so 1 regular, 4 experimental.
And the 8 ball of coke, which is, I've used 2 out of the 10 on that.
No, that's the speed Ognum brewed you, all right?
Did I get an 8 ball from elsewhere?
That is completely different from the 8 ball of coke you got from Brewster McCracken. Now, and there is a difference between those two, and if you didn't write it down, I'm just going to wait till you use the coke to figure it out.
Oh, no.
What did you call it? Speed serum?
No, speed, methamphetamine. So Ognum brewed you up some fucking Walter White speed.
Beat by Ognum.
Yeah. The Buster McCracken 8 ball is a completely separate situation.
Ognum, capital O, capital G.
Why is it a cologne now?
What?
Speed by Ognum.
Speed by Ognum.
That's right. It's like a cologne.
All right. So you guys are at the landing, 4 steps up, then ramp. What you doing?
Fate's casting mage armor on himself because he's scared. Because things keep trying to kill them.
What's the duration on mage armor?
8 hours.
No shit.
Yeah. All
right. That's not concentration, right?
No.
Cool.
So the ramp, is it like
straight up?
Yeah. Is it walkable?
It's the exact same proportion and path as the previous stairwells that you guys have been in. Narrow stairwell curling up, and each turn it kind of takes it out of sight. The only real difference between this hallway and every other one that you've been in is you go about 4 steps up, and then the stairs smooth out into a ramp comprised of that same cobblestone that the walls are made out of. So it's textured enough that it's not slick. It's not like a slide. It's legitimately a ramp.
Okay.
There's no concern or ability check that would be necessary to walk up this.
Okay. Do we see the runes from the previous stairwells, or are we not high enough up to see it yet?
You guys wouldn't have reached the point where you would have encountered the runes. If you guys want to send Eldrin up in blindsight mode to scratch through the rune like you have previously, that was your workaround for those runes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying I was trying to check to see if it was there at all.
You would have to walk far enough up for it to take effect.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Eldrin, you're up.
All right, fine. I'll activate my blind sight, and I'm going to go look for the rune on the wall.
Are you guys following him, or is he just going up solo?
He usually goes up solo first, right?
Yeah, you don't want to follow me unless you want to get zapped back.
Eldrin, with your eyes closed and the blind sight activated, it's very much like the Daredevil radar sense. You have an excellent perception of what's around you for about 15 feet, but there's textures come across a little bit strange. It's not a sonar pulse, but it's similar to what you would imagine echolocation vision would look like, strangely enough. And as you curl up, you reach to the point where that rune is, and as you scratch it off, you hear a little click-click. And start to hear a low bass rumble coming down towards you. And then imagine, if you will, you were a archaeologist who had just recently pulled a idol off a pedestal after very carefully trying to bounce it out with a bag of sand. But it didn't work, and you triggered a trap, and a giant rolling boulder was headed your way. It's that. It's that. A giant boulder seems to plop out at the top of the ramp and starts rolling down towards you guys.
I am running back down towards them and telling them to get the fuck out of the way. Everybody get the fuck out of the way, please. There's a giant boulder coming. We're going to get smashed. Please run down and get out of the way.
We run down and get out of the way.
Run back into the room.
The four steps.
You guys are able to quite easily step into the landing. No problem whatsoever. Eldrin, I am going to need you to give me a athletics check to outrun the boulder.
Oh, boy. Athletics, huh? 19.
You sprint right down onto it and jump through the doorway. The boulder, and it is just big enough to fit down this hallway. I mean, it's not like a 30 feet tall boulder, but it's big enough still that if it hit you, it would hurt. It comes to where the landing would be, and you can see like a portion of the wall of the landing open up, and the boulder rolls into that, and then that portion of the wall slides shut, returning it back to its original state.
Huh.
Well,
so wait. All right. So I'm going to put my blind sight back on and make sure that the rune is still gone, I guess, and...
Okay, you scooch back up to the rune. You can feel where your dagger had etched through it. And right as you're kind of fingering the rune, you hear another snicket and the bass rumble of that boulder coming at you again.
Yeah, and I'm running back down.
I'm not going to make you roll this time because you kind of were on guard and ready to sprint back like a guy who had let off base a little bit too much and was ready for the throw out. You were able to scooch back in. Same thing. Boulder comes rolling down. Wall opens up, permits it to pass, slides shut, and resets it back to normal.
I mean, there can't be more than one boulder. I'd say go for it again.
You have seen two boulders. After boulder number two, that there can only be one boulder is a bold decision.
There can't be more than one.
What if we send someone slightly faster than Eldrin to just try and run past the trap?
You just run up the ramp?
It sounds like a good idea to me.
I mean, have at it. Oh. Todd's pretty fast.
Todd, you constantly go on about your famed speed.
Don't you have armor right now?
Well, that means he's too heavy.
Then you just cast mage armor? Can't you just take a boulder to the face right now?
He can't take anything to the face.
That's not quite the way mage armor works.
I would not know. I'm not a mage.
Well, you know, I was trying to inform you, but never mind.
Okay. All right. Is there a baton? Give me the baton. I'm running. Let's do this.
Todd, you might not be a mage, but you can amaze.
Never say that again. Let's go. Listen, the whole time I've been thinking, why don't we just run up this thing? Why don't we just run up? Why not take the direct approach first? We tried the one that didn't work. Let's just try the direct approach and walk up.
I mean, go for it, man.
So is the boulder dropping when you hit the switch or?
That's what I'm guessing.
He doesn't see the boulder drop. So you guys are entering in at the south position, just like all the staircases did. Typically, the other staircases you've gone up have ascended up one full rotation around the base of the tower at the incline level to bring you up one full, about 15-foot story. The rune has been positioned 3/4 of the way around that turn at every point, and that's where it's positioned at this time. So where the boulder would be dropping, at least hypothetically, as far as you know, based off of the previous stairwells, would be at the landing of the doorway exiting out, which would be that full 360 rotation around the tower, which is out of sight from where the rune is at. And even if it was in sight, would still be out of the range of Eldrin's blind sight. So if the hope is that you guys are going to go in and run full speed around to the other door and make it through the door, you are actively working under the assumption that this ramp constitutes the same length and number of rotations as the previous stairwell. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just pointing that out.
Let's try to think this out, right?
I'm also thinking that it seems to me like the boulder is getting dropped when they touch the rune. So if we just run by without touching that, hopefully, you know, that doesn't happen.
Or if we all just run up and don't look.
No, not all. That's why I'm still sending one person till we have proof of this concept.
Todd, right? Todd this time?
Yeah.
What if, like, so the bolt is getting repositioned at the top, right? Every time it goes through this little door.
I mean,
they might have infinite boulders.
Huh?
They might
just have mini boulders?
Yes, they might just have infinite boulders. It's possible.
Infinite boulders.
Boulders all the way down, guys.
That's not good.
I was thinking push the button and let's walk through the door that opens up behind us.
Oh, you're talking about try and go through the boulder door. Okay, do you guys want to...
The boulder door.
Examine the wall where the boulder door is located?
Boulder dash.
I think that's a good idea to examine the door. I don't want to necessarily jump right into going out it.
Give me some investigation checks. And if anybody has any special skills or anything that would apply to this investigation check, like a proficiency in Mason's tools, or if one of you were a dwarf, you would have some advantage here.
Ooh, Moyle rolls a 9.
Ugh, 5. I am so trash at investigating.
19.
Finally got him a good investigation check from the rogue.
Yeah. No. Did you say good or the best investigation check?
Oh my God.
I mean, I rolled a 12 and still outdid you, sir. So, yeah, with that 20 investigation.
Not the best?
I had a nat 19. No,
a dirty 20 still beats a nat 19.
Indeed it does. And in fact, the nat 19 isn't high enough. It was a DC 20 investigation check. So, you spend a significant amount of time running your hands along that back wall behind the landing from the base of the floor up to where it enters into the ceiling around the central column of the tower. And you are certain beyond any shadow of a doubt that there is not a fucking door here. There's no sliding mechanism like you saw in the door at the base. There's no hinge. The entire wall is grouted and masoned quite securely into not only the base of the floor that you're on, but it's attached to that central tower. The aging on the masonry and the slight discoloration that shows that over time some mold has gotten into it that just can't fucking be faked, according to your studies on the calcification of masonry and the growth of indigenous molds in moist areas, that there's no fucking door here. It's absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, no door.
So I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. Fate has seen a boulder come down this ramp.
Correct.
Has seen the boulder go into a opening in the wall.
Correct.
And now upon inspecting the spot where the boulder went into the wall, there is literally no way possible that boulder should have gone into this wall, is what you're telling me.
That is correct.
Fate turns around, looks at the rest of the party. There's no door here.
How much do you think those boulders weigh?
What?
How much do you think those boulders weigh?
I don't know, more than a bread basket?
What?
More than 2 bread baskets?
So we established this is, you know, about a 5-foot wide passage. So, I mean, we're talking about...
Half ton worth of rock?
Yeah. I mean, let's say 1,000 pounds, and you guys haven't gotten a good look at the boulder. I'll say that it's dropped enough times now that you guys have seen it that it isn't just like a rough stone. It is like a polished hunk of marble, which increases the density and the weight of it. So if I were to try and quantify the damage one would take from it hitting you, I would say it's equivalent to 8 Warhammers hitting you, Andrew.
8 Warhammers.
Wow, that's a lot of Warhammer. Two-handed or one-handed? Yeah.
2-handed.
Oh boy. And is there any damage that it's causing to the stairs when it falls down?
Give me an investigation check on the stairs.
And 11.
I wonder what would happen if we were somehow to like knock the boulder off of its path rolling down. Fate says to Baba.
Andrew, there is not any damage to the floor or stairs.
So if there's no damage to the floor or stairs, could this be a holograph?
A what?
Ooh, would you be bold enough to try to confirm this?
Like an illusion.
Let your face take that boulder shot?
Hold it to the face!
To the face!
Could I, if I put on advantage to my 2-handed Warhammer, would that equate to 8 Warhammers?
Are you saying you want to try and fucking Babe Ruth this thing right out of the fucking park.
Yeah, Mickey Mantle it out of the park.
Yeah, you are absolutely welcome to try and fucking go deep on the boulder.
Do we have some salsa music before I go Sammy Sosa on this?
I don't.
Todd steps out the way as he pulls this hammers out of his backpack.
Wait, Todd has hammers in his backpack?
No, Moyle pulls the hammers out of the backpack, Todd moves out of the way.
The baggie.
The baggie.
Baggie, yeah.
Is that what you call your bag now? Moyle. Baggie?
Moyle, I don't know if this is the best idea, Moyle.
This is the only idea we have.
Moyle, who are you talking to?
Myself. I'm just trying to psych myself up for this.
By telling yourself that your idea is the only one we've got? That doesn't sound very optimistic to psych yourself up with, sir. What? Get it together, buddy.
All right.
Now go ahead.
Let's do this. I'm going to put myself at advantage and...
You can use it on this? You can use it on smashing, trying to smash a boulder?
Let's do it. Just use it real early.
Okay, so...
This is the worst idea.
So, let me see perfectly. Your plan is to walk up until you hear the boulder drop, wait, and then try and hit it so hard with the hammer. It arrests the forward motion of the boulder to where then you and the party can climb up and climb over it. I mean, because there would be enough room, I guess, for you guys to climb over it if you could stop it somehow.
Well, when you say it like that, and you bring in all that physics... You know, with it moving down, and then you gotta not only stop it, but then push it forward. And
look, I think you've committed to a course of action. I don't let the DM talk you out of it. If that's what you guys want to do, then by all means,
you guys. This is on him. This is what he wants to do.
I mean, he can heal himself.
Does anyone else have a better idea before?
I was going to see if I could detect a portal because I can do that, but I didn't think it was going to be worth it because it doesn't seem like there's a portal there.
I mean, we might want to try walking up.
Yeah, I'm running up,
Moyle, if I may. Here's a good idea. Here's the thing I think you should do. Give me your potions in case you are wrong about the illusion so that they don't get crushed with you and I can help you get back up.
Well, I'll give you my one regular potion.
I'm not sure we should do this.
Works for me?
It's for you.
What?
You're so stingy with the potion. It's for you. It's to save your life.
I think we should do something different.
I'm asking you to give it to me so I can use it on you.
We should do this differently.
I'm a drug addict. Do you think I'm not going to be stingy with my stuff, with my product?
Fair enough, sir. I understand.
I know, like.
I mean, I'm not an addict. I can stop whenever I want.
We're going up, Moyle.
Yeah, let's do this.
Moyle, you start to ascend the ramp.
I've got the potion.
If you reach the point where the glyph of warding would be, that is still scratched through so it doesn't teleport you back, you kind of set your feet to get ready. You hear a loud thud up the ramp, and then the slow grind of stone on stone as this mass of marble begins to roll towards you and accelerate.
Uh-huh.
You kind of set yourself in a batter stance.
Yeah, dink the stair 2 times. And then wind up.
The boulder rolls around the corner.
Back and forth with the hammer.
It's a lot of dice.
As you swing with all your might against this boulder, you stumble forward as the momentum pulls you directly through the boulder and you kind of trip down to one knee and you look behind you and you see the boulder has passed over you harmlessly. And you've passed through it harmlessly as it rolls down the ramp to the base.
Oh, the old fake boulder trick.
By the way, none of you see this because he is up around the corner out of your sight. All you hear is punk. The boulders start rolling. Moyle go hoot as he swings for it. And then the boulder continues down the path, heads towards the wall. Portal opens up in the wall. Boulder slides through. Wall slides shut.
But we don't see Moyle rolling back here.
Oh, by the gods, he's dead.
But there's no blood on the boulder.
Or Moyle rolling back or squished underneath.
He's wrapped around the boulder.
I don't hear a lot of concern in my teammates' voices.
Oh, by the gods, he's dead. We've lost him.
I should still have our group telepathy going from the end of previous session.
Yeah, our witch mountain telepathy.
We will see him at the crossroads.
Yeah.
It was a 10-minute duration. More than 10 minutes have passed. If you wanted to have reactivated it before you sent Moyle up, that would have been a good time to mention it.
Okay. Isn't it good for 90 feet? Is he not within 90 feet of us at this point?
No, but it's got a 10-minute duration currently.
The time ran out already.
Oh, but I'm saying, if he's in 90 feet, I can reactivate it now and still reach him, yes?
Yeah, but there's got to be a mutual consensus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we have to like look each other in the eye.
Can I yell, Moyle, are you okay?
Can you?
Moyle, are you okay?
I'm okay, Todd.
Oh. What happened?
I don't know. You know, I must have hit it out of the park because I don't see it.
You clearly didn't hit it out the park. I saw it roll down. You clearly didn't do that.
Well, I clearly didn't trip over myself.
It is the ghost of Moyo's past.
That Moyle. Will his antics ever get old? I assure you, they get very old as a dungeon master. Okay, kind of a big announcement this week. We premiered our live stream, DMsplaining, this Wednesday, with an episode about acronyms in Dungeons & Dragons. Now, I know what you're saying, Turner. It was really about initialism in Dungeons & Dragons. None of the abbreviations you guys talked about spelled out words. They're abbreviations that you pronounce the letters separately when discussing or using. To which we respond, thank you so much for the feedback. We sincerely appreciate it, you pedantic twat. No, seriously, we do. And I will make a note here to go change the title of that episode and post. Anywho, every Wednesday, we're going to be back over there with a couple members of the party, maybe a guest, talking about a topic from Dungeons & Dragons. A lot of these are going to be explainers. Like next episode, we're tackling alignments. How do they work? But we also may get into some D&D adjacent topics from time to time, like a movie review or discussing how D&D impacted the creative project the guest is involved in. So if you would like to hear us discuss a specific topic, hit us up on Twitter at GMDLcast. We're always going to look at our Patreon supporters' suggestions first. Hint, hint. We're really excited to keep doing these. We wanted to continue to be able to produce that content in a way that didn't add to the editing pile that I'm dealing with. Now, that said, the audio from these live streams will be added to the podcast stream at some point, but fair warning, and I'll probably put this disclaimer in before every one of those episodes, it will not be heavily edited or produced. So there will be some pregnant pauses, some ums. The audio quality may take a step back, depending upon whether or not a certain somebody realized that Audition wasn't recording his audio locally, and now he has to rely on the audio from the live stream recording for his piece. I mean, just hypothetically. Oof. Anyway, so yeah, exciting stuff. Okay, cool. So just remember, Harlan continues to pop up as a guest on the pop-up filmcast, so keep an eye out for him over there. Jamie provides you all the gaming news you could ever need on the Three Angry Gamers podcast. And Jazz and Anthony, a.k.a. Baba and Fate, are available to be showered with your praise or condemnation on Twitter. Links and notes for all that in the show notes below. If you are one of our American listeners and are checking this out the day that it uploaded, please have a happy and safe July 4th weekend. Explode things responsibly. Cool. Let's get back into it with the guys.
As you're yelling back at him, Moyle, you hear another thud and another boulder comes rolling down the passageway towards you.
I'm running.
Are you running forward or back?
Towards
the boulder or away from it?
Oh, man. I'm trying to see if I have something that I could. Is the ceiling high enough that I could jump over it?
Yeah, you could try.
Okay.
The boulder just went through you.
Shut up, Todd.
Did it go through him or did he trip over it?
Yeah, but I'm not convinced of that. I'm convinced that I fell and it bumped over the stair, over me.
What? Did we send the wrong person, guys? Did we send the wrong person?
Yes.
What? Wait, can you repeat that?
He's high.
Yeah, you guys sent the highest dude up there. He hasn't slept for a week. He's been geeked out on fucking artificer meth for an entire road trip. Then you guys brought him down a notch at a wine bar. He fucking threatened some poor gnome with his life. And then you guys came into fucking Willy Wonka's haunted fucking lighthouse. What are we doing, Mo? You going to jump it?
Okay, I try and jump over it. Rolling an 11.
You crouch down, leap up with all your ability, and don't even get two-thirds of the way over it, but the boulder appears to hit you, passes through you, and rolls down the ramp towards the party. You guys see another boulder come rolling down, door appear to open up, boulder passes into the door, door slides shut.
Moyo? Moyo, my man?
Guys, I think I'm a ghost. I think I might have hit my limit on Ognum speed. I think I've turned into a ghost. It went through me. The boulder went through me.
I'm a ghost.
Mo, I don't think you're a ghost, Mo. I don't think you're a ghost.
He's still talking to us.
Are you sure, Todd? Can you hear me from the other side?
Mo, you're pretty sure you hear Unchained Melody start to pipe in to the stairwell.
you weren't a ghost a second ago, Mo. You're very tangible.
Excuse me, but it sounds like we've still got a Mo up there, and two boulders have come down, so I think somebody else should try and repeat his experiment.
Yeah, let's just go.
I nominate Baba, and I pat Baba on the back really hard.
The dread helmet, it makes my eyes turn red, right?
Right, yeah, and it gives you advantage on intimidation checks.
I'm not going to intimidate him, but I'm going to look at Fate with the red eyes, very unpleased with how much he's been touching me as of late. Keep your hands to yourself.
That's a bait hands up. Sorry.
Guys, help. I'm entering the other dimension.
I think let's go up and check on Moyle. So I want to go up.
You guys find Moyle crouched down on the ramp next to where the scratched out rune is. And as you all kind of reach Moyle's location, you hear another thud and the grind of another boulder rolling down towards you.
Pull me out.
I want to grab Moyle and like the wounded soldier, like arm over and just kind of take him all the way up the stairs, just through the, I got you, buddy. You will be okay.
As you guys head up, the boulder comes barreling down towards you. You pass harmlessly through it. It passes harmlessly over you and continues down the ramp.
Mm. Yeah, continue up the ramp with Moyle.
You reach the landing and there is a door very similar to all the other doors that you guys have encountered. It is unlocked and opens quite easily.
Moyle, we've made it.
Thank you, Baba.
You are safe.
I know you can see me because you can see your sister, but can the others see me?
Well, we see you, Moyle. Like I said,
yeah, we all see you, dude.
You're quite tangible.
Moyle, you are not dead, sir.
You're quite tangible. You just got picked up.
Okay.
Moyle, give me a wisdom saving throw.
That is a 26. That's a nat 20.
Yeah, it's a nat 20 on your wisdom saving throw. You snap out of it, Moyle. You realize you may be slightly under the influence of some psychosis caused by extended sleep deprivation, but after doing a quick, you know, pulse physical pinch check, you remember you're alive.
Oh, someone pinched me.
That's okay.
Pass. Oh,
okay, a little human touch is nice every once in a while, but I guess I can't get it here.
There's literally no humans here.
All right, so you guys step into a rather pleasant study that appears to have also be converted to a little bit of a sleeping space as well. As typical, there's a door opposite the one that you enter. A couple of things immediately are different. Number one, this room actually conforms to the interior dimensions of what you would imagine the tower interior dimensions would be. So you guys actually have a feeling like this isn't one of the weird, bizarre rooms that you've gone through. There's not that sense of dislocation or translocation as if you're stepping into an M.C. Escher drawing. This looks like just a regular little study/room. In the far left-hand corner opposite the door that you guys walked in, there's a cot with a heavy wool blanket and a couple of puffed-up pillows. There's the oaken door at the opposite of you. To the right, there's a bookshelf with a number of texts stacked on it. In front of the bookshelf, there is a long 4x3 table with some different alchemist equipment in it, which has a couple of different liquids that have been boiled through different states and combined. Closer to you guys, to the right of the door that you immediately walk through, is a desk with an inkwell and kind of a heavily used blotter on top of it. And then to the left of the door, a little, like a little kitchenette, kind of bistro sized dining table with a stool next to it where it, somebody appears to have been eating some meals from time to time.
Well, given the wonderful tricks and delights and the illusion we just had to deal with, I feel as though we may have stumbled upon some level of spellcaster's domicile here. Does anybody mind if I try and look around and see if I can gather some information?
Sure.
Have at it.
Yes, while you do that, I will test out the ink plume.
It is an inkwell, Moyle. Give me an investigation check, Fate, and tell me what you're looking at.
I want to check the desk and the shelf through all the tomes, texts, see if there's any type of spells, any type of reference to maybe we're dealing with like a, you know, sorcerer, another warlock perhaps, or maybe just some kid who got a bunch of scrolls somehow and just being a dick, you know, whatever I can find out here. Investigation. Boop. And I got a 19.
Okay. So you're looking at the desk or the bookshelf first? I'm sorry.
I was going to start at the desk since it's closest. Okay.
So you go over to the desk. On the wall behind it, there appears to be a plat map or like a land map, which shows the area around Nashtow and the lighthouse. There are a couple of blue pins stuck in a couple of locations outside of Nashtow that have been kind of circled with the quill. As you start to root through the drawer a little bit, you see this appears to have been the drawer of the lighthouse keeper, Wilhelm. And it's got a lot of his personal records in it, his employment records, some health records from when he was going to the doctor. There does appear to be some correspondence to a friend of his in town. And as you kind of flip through that correspondence, you can see the tone change. At first, it's, you know, it's amicable, like, oh, I'm up at the lighthouse, you know, oh, I saw another boat come by today. Just kind of the standard bored ramblings of somebody whose job it was to sit next to a giant crystal 365 days a year. But you start to see some dissatisfaction appear, and the letters begin to get a little bit angrier as they speak to this friend. And the letters are always assigned Wilhelm, and they're always addressed, my dear friend. There's never a name that the letter is going to, but you can see that Wilhelm has found out that they were going to automate the lighthouse and that he was going to be laid off. And he, you know, this is something that he'd been doing for generations. I mean, you get the feel for it based off of when he talks about his clan and when he talks about, you know, things that he did when he was younger, that this is a dwarf who's writing these letters, because he talks about his love of the cobblestone of the tower. He talks about doing the masonry repairs and renovating the kitchen and putting in the granite marble tops that were down there, and how that was mined from his cousin's operation further up in Cardona. I mean, he's particularly proud that he was able to get granite from the Iron Congress's quarries to come down and be in his little lighthouse. And, you know, how proud he was of maintaining the, you know, the crystal, which represented the power source and the bond between the Dragonborn and Dwarven clans when the treaty was signed. It continues to escalate to where you eventually get the feel like this is a disgruntled employee who's found out he's going to be laid off. And it begins to talk about plans to get even, plans to find a way to take advantage of the situation. And then the correspondence just stops.
I would like to check out the inkwell, make sure that it's 100% ink.
It is 100% ink.
Well, gentlemen, I found here what looks to be a diary of, looks like a disgruntled dwarf who is going to be seeking revenge upon whoever's in charge of this lighthouse becoming unmanned or automated, I suppose. Name of Wilhelm? Does anybody remember anybody mentioning a Wilhelm before we came into the tower?
What was the name of the company that that the bureaucrats were taking over?
The Mercantile Guild.
Yeah, that was the Mercantile Guild.
The organization responsible for the winding ways and all the waypoints, the Buc-ee's. There, it is the hyper-capitalist expansionist conglomerate housed in Sama that is trying to get its fingers into everything. And you guys would have picked up on this just being in Nashtow. The Mercantile Guild obviously has a really strong presence there. They're the ones who entered into a contract with the Stilt Dwarves for the exploration and drilling and refining of the natural gas and oil reserves that are present in Hiko. So all that infrastructure was built by the Mercantile Guild and is maintained by them. And as such, they have a lot of clout in the area.
Huh. You know, as I recall, not the last town, but the place we all met, the kobolds were also angry with the Mercantile Guild for what they had done to their resident. just a odd coincidence.
And Bob, I mean, you know how treacherous the Mercantile Guild really is. They have a very, very positive public image in some respects. Everybody loves the Winding Ways, and you know, who doesn't like a good Duckies? But you've seen the heart of the Mercantile Guild as you traveled from the Verdant through Shaitan to get on a boat for your walkabout. I mean, that was one of the most challenging parts of your journey, besides what you're going through now, is making it through Shaitan without accidentally stumbling into a contract that would have bound you in indentured servitude. And if you even think back to one of your flashbacks of one of your alternate lives, there is a reality out there somewhere where Baba is a mid-management actuary functionary pushing papers for the Mercantile Guild well into his middle age.
Well, let's go search the bed. I will investigate the bed. Always looking under the bed for monsters.
All right. Give me an investigation roll. It's more of a cot than a bed. It kind of folds out. But with your nat 20 on investigation, as you're going through it,
nice.
You think to check the frame of the cot, and there is what appears to be a spare key taped on the inner edge of the metal frame that you're able to pry off.
Oh, guys, I found a key.
What kind of key?
Coke.
What is the key to?
Well, I don't know. I'm just like, there's a key, there's a door.
Oh, so the door key?
Oh, door key. Whatever.
I'm going to try this key on that door.
Whoa. Sir, before we go opening doors again, I would like to continue just trying to see if we can find any more information in this room. I'm going to check out this shelf now.
The shelf is predominantly books on the care and upkeep of lighthouses. There are some weird selections in there. There are a couple of books on how to cultivate a particular type of mold that grows on rye and cultivating mushroom spores. And then there are a couple of manuals on how to reduce and concentrate organic compounds. They appear to be text that you would associate with fermenting goods for food preparation or for brewing. But when you kind of put them in the context of the other stuff here, it looks like somebody potentially has been trying to come up a way to concentrate a biological agent of some kind.
Huh.
So this guy is a Unabomber or a prepper?
Oh, and there is a scroll on the bookshelf, Fate, that as you pick it up and open it up, you can see it is a spell scroll for mirror image.
Let's go.
Was there an alchemy table too? Is that what you said there was?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where I was headed next.
So give me an investigation check on the alchemy table.
12. Okay. 12 on the alchemy table.
Now give me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Oh, no. 16.
Okay. You begin to examine the materials on the table. I mean, you start to feel a tingling in your fingers, Fate. And you can tell that there is some kind of residue on this stuff that you are absorbing as you touch it. So you catch on quickly enough that you stop for a second and kind of wipe your hands off really quickly.
I wipe my hand on Moyle.
You're not able to identify the liquids that are in there just by sight, but I will tell you that the alchemy setup kind of matches what you saw on the bookshelf, that this would be the various burners, condensers, and boilers to take something, emulsify it into a liquid, and then to condense that down, and then actually evaporate that out and turn it into a powder. So you can give me an Arcana check real quick.
That's a 13.
Actually, you know what? Todd, give me a... We'll say, Todd, give me a history check.
A 10.
Even though it's a little bit lower, it's a little bit more in your bailiwick. You've seen contact poisons before, and you know that the part of the process for certain contact poisons is taking a poisonous substance and then boiling it down to a powder. And then that powder can be applied to any number of surfaces so that when the target comes into contact with it, they begin to fall under its effects.
Oh, okay.
There is a plate with like a grayish, purplish powder in it that appears to be the end product of what this table is creating.
Moyle, I know you see powder all over the place. Please do not sniff this. This can end you.
That's what they say about all the good stuff.
I warned him. Let the record show. I warned Moyle not to snort the powder.
Okay.
All right. What you guys up to?
I want to look at the door, the exit door, or the other door.
It's very similar to all the other exit doors that you guys have encountered. You can see that the lock is much more complicated on this one. And there are a number of runes inscribed into the door frame around this door. And corresponding runes scratched into the lock plate.
What is this again?
That's a little dining table or a little bistro table where the, whoever has been staying here has been eating their dinner. There are some scraps of cheese, and actually a surprisingly high end cheese. I mean, you can spot it right away. It's not like a moldy kind of crumbly. It's a stout Winsleydale and a half full glass of wine next to a bottle, which sure enough is from Bruno Vino's cafe.
Uh-huh.
Does it look recently opened and eaten?
You can tell that the cheese has been sitting on this probably for a couple hours because it does look a little bit dried out, but it doesn't look ancient by any stretch.
We have a guy here that likes to taste things and investigate it through taste. Hey, Fate, would you like to taste this cheese and investigate it with your tongue? Tongue investigator?
Do you want to tongue this cheese?
You just found poison. You just found poison. Don't taste anything.
Considering the poison residue or whatever this residue is that we've just come across in this room, I will not be eating anything. Thank you, though. I appreciate the offer.
That has never stopped you before. Mm. That has never stopped you before.
What are you talking about?
So Todd is giving Moyle the, hey, don't sniff this. But he's telling Fate to go all in. It's
cheese and wine. Take a little taste.
In the room with what you just told everyone else is poison residue.
Oh, says the guy who just licks random windows.
Poison residue.
I'll pass. Thank you.
Are we familiar with what any of these runes are?
I got this, but I got a key for possibly the door lock.
Wait, which runes?
There's a keyhole, right?
Is there a keyhole?
Yeah, there's a keyhole. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could try and put the key that you found in the lock.
Wait, what are the runes written in, though?
Yeah, but we could still try and look at the runes first.
That's a good idea.
They are dwarven runes. Well, even though I know, Fate, you would have the ability to speak it, they're not language.
Ah.
They're glyphs of warding that have not activated currently.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, then, all I can tell you is that they're glyphs of warding. Todd, you found the key. Perhaps the key is the cipher to bypass these glyphs.
I will back up and give way to Todd.
I will back up.
Fate's going to do his best to stand behind Baba and Eldrin.
And Eldrin. Jeez. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Jeez, guys.
Molly's going to hide behind Eldrin.
Go ahead and do it.
Todd notices that they are backing up and calls them suckers. As he proceeds to put the key into the door and turn it slowly.
It slowly goes click,
click.
And opens up.
And then I look back at him in shame. And as I walk through the door.
Thank God.
Okay.
Do the glyphs light up?
Literally everything else has been trapped. I mean, I don't.
Meanwhile, he peed on himself in terror.
What? No urine?
You were nervous.
Yeah, a little pee came out. Come on, yeah. Todd.
No, guys. Well, I will make it clear when Todd has wet himself.
It was a minor precaution, Todd.
Have the glyphs lit up?
No.
I bet if you picked that lock.
Had you had to have Todd pick that lock, it would have been particularly bad for Todd. But since he found the key, he gets to keep his hands.
I was definitely going to kick it before I tried to pick it. That was definitely going to happen.
That is also a t-shirt.
Yes, kick it before you pick it.
Kick it before you pick it.
Oh, God.
Okay, mental note, start working on artwork and graphic design for You've Got to Kick It Before You Pick It shirt. Add it to the list. Hey guys, hope you enjoyed the episode. Want to take a final moment of your time here just to remind you that our Patreon is live and chock full of bonus content you can get for helping support the Party of Five. We just wrapped up our Tournament of Champions, which was the video content that we recorded for the guys to do a little PvP. After a very short hiatus, that's going to transition into a survival challenge where the party goes 1v1 against monsters of escalating challenge rating in a Colosseum setting to see who can survive the longest. We've got a bonus podcast where we rewatch Supernatural, talk about what still works, what absolutely hasn't stood the test of time, and use it as inspiration for a D&D homebrew monster, item, or scenario. There's additional character backstory, character interviews, world lore,
The videos from our live streams will be uploaded and maintained there as well so that they can be watched at any time. And any pledges go right back into the podcast to help us produce bigger, better, faster, shinier content for you, our listeners. We just added a new Patreon goal. If we get to 20 Patreon supporters, we're going to make Harland LARP, and I'm going to dress up as Echo and go LARP with him. So if you want to see Harland dressed up as Tiefling and me dressed up as a giant short sword, go ahead and head over to patreon.com/GMDLcast. But look, it's been a crazy time, obviously, and not everybody can support financially, and we certainly understand that. We appreciate you, whether or not you're a Patreon supporter or you're just a regular listener. But like, if you're not a Patreon supporter, there is still something you can do to help out the Party of Five. Number one, follow us on social media at GMDLcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, but mostly Twitter, honestly. Number two, get over there, follow, rate, and subscribe on whichever podcast platform provides you with your entertainment. That feedback is huge. It tells the algorithm more important and helps our visibility with other listeners. And number three, tell somebody about the show. Odds are you've got somebody in your life, whether it's family, friend, coworker, who shares similar interests with you. So give them the recommendation to check out the Party of Five, because at the end of the day, we really think they'll enjoy the show. Once again, thanks. If you're in the U.S. and you're listening to this right as it comes out, have a happy and safe 4th of July. We really appreciate you joining us. Have a good one. Also, make a mental note to record more of these first thing in the morning when you've got Tom Baudette voice.